Well, Lord, we thank you so much for allowing us this time to get together and fellowship and praise you, Lord, with our testimonies and praise reports. And Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to do this, to have this little platform here where we can all get together and talk about you, Lord, and the things that you've done for other people. It's just awesome. You know, Lord, I'm seeing where you're showing up over there in the Middle East big time, where you're changing terrorists who have killed Christians, and you're seeing where they have persecuted Christians right and left, and you're going to them and you're showing them your nail scarred hands and the wounds in your side, and how they know instantly who you are, Father. That is so awesome. I thank you for doing that, Lord, bringing those people to repentance and granting repentance to them. Lord, I just thank you for that, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you continue to do that work over there, because those people over there are suffering. They're under so much bondage under that religion or whatever that is that they're under, Lord, that Sharia law and that Muslim religion that they do, Lord. That is so much bondage. And I thank you for freeing them up, Lord. And I praise you for it. And Lord, I thank you for freeing us up too. As we walk this walk, you've got us on, Lord, to perfect us in Christ. And we allow you to do that work in us, Lord, by faith. And I just praise you, Lord, for the work you're going to do tonight in us. And let this be a glorious time, Lord, that we can just praise you, glorify you in the work that you're doing in around us, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Go ahead, Robert.
I have three, actually. One, first and foremost, a dear friend of mine, Victor Maravillag, is going in for kidney surgery in the morning, and his son, Victor Jr., I believe it's Victor Jr., is going to, or it's Wesley, no, Wesley, is going to donate a kidney. So that operation is going to be at 5 a.m. in the morning. And I just want to pray for a clean surgery and with no problems. And I will pray that also a friend of mine, she's lost. Her name's Donna Cameron Kane. She has been hospitalized. She was hospitalized for a week. The doctors couldn't figure out what it was, and I was visiting with her last Thursday, and I told her, I said, Donna, I said that perhaps, because she realizes how close to death she was, I said, perhaps it's God giving you giving you just a moment to realize how close you are, so you can get into a real relationship with Jesus Christ, because she's so far from that. And that's my two prayers. So would you like me to pray for that?
Yeah, you go right ahead, and we'll believe with you, brother. We'll hook our faith up with you, and we know it's going to get done.
Amen. Well, Father, I just come to you in prayer for the surgery tomorrow to remove a kidney and to replace a kidney into Wesley and Victor Maravillag. Victor's a wonderful, beautiful soul, a wonderful brother. I love him dearly. And God, we just come to you in agreement that you'll loose, in Jesus Christ's name, upon the surgeons that are, and the whole team, the wisdom of the craftsmen of the tabernacle and the wisdom of the craftsmen of the temple, that you the Holy Ghost came and rested upon them and gave them the wisdom to follow the pattern. So, God, we pray for clean, with no problems, no infections, no problems at all, surgery, and a quick and regeneration and healing of brother Victor and also brother Wesley. They're both born again believers. We're going to trust you for that. And there's a lot of other people praying for that. And I want to lift up Donna to you. She's so lost, Lord. She says, don't pray for me, because people die when they get prayed for. So Lord, Father, we just ask you to loose the abundant life of Jesus Christ into her. Father, use me. I've known her for so long, Lord, and I loved her for a long time. And Lord, completely unrequited, but that's okay, Lord. that love still coming through in a godly way and not a sexual, sensual way. Lord, I just pray for her recovery. She's still weak. She fell today. And God, just let her know she needs rest and let her get some rest and recover from the life she's lived for the past 50 years. Lord, God, Father, just ask you to heal her. First, heal her spiritually. Let her be born again and receive the washing and regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. And Father, sanctify her. And let her know that there's nothing that she's ever done that you can't and won't and will not forgive. So we pray for that. Father, I pray that I'm able to successfully minister to this woman, Lord. And I ask you to keep the enemy away from her. We bind the enemy from coming in and trying to bring her back to a life of drugs, a life of whatever she was leading, all the stuff. Lord, we just, Father, we lose warring angels at God's pleasure and command to, Father, stand in the gap around her and those that are taking care of Donna and save her, Lord. And I thank you for the opportunity with my brothers and sisters here to pray this prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you.
Amen. Lord, we just believe with Robert that you're going to do a mighty work in all of them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Everybody believe that?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, I would like to share something, Michael.
All right, Debbie.
I've shared with you guys about my sister's sister-in-law who's been in the hospital and hospitalized for cirrhosis of the liver and the mighty work God did, and my sister had the opportunity to share with her, and she received Christ. She passed away on Friday, and the whole family is casual Catholic, and no one is a Christian, born-again believer, as far as she knows, and her husband, my brother-in-law, says so. But her father prayed to receive the Lord several years ago. He's an alcoholic too, but he's not been living as a believer. So I don't know if he really was serious. But he called Joy and said, "We don't want to have a priest at this funeral. We want you and Art to do it. Would you please do the funeral for us?" So they are really excited to be able to have this opportunity to speak to his whole family, cousins and immediate family and cousins and all. And he's also Howard is a little nervous because he's a quiet person and he's not used to getting up and speaking to people, but he wants to do it. So he does covet prayers, and Joy is going to share, they're both going to share their testimonies. And so it's a great opportunity for them. I told them that we would be praying. So
thank you, Lord. Yeah, I've done a couple of funerals myself, and it's an awesome time for a evangelistic message.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Really is.
Well, Lord, so I pray for Art and Joy, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you would just give them trust in you, give Art especially a total trust in you, Father, to, Lord God, just lay down his thoughts and his plans, and Lord, that he would just trust your Holy Spirit to give him the words to speak, give him the peace just to share his testimony, to share what you mean to him, Lord. Pray for your anointing on this time, God, and for both of them as they speak and share it with the family, Lord. Pray, Lord God, that you'll open hearts, Lord. Touch hearts, God, in this family, that this day they would receive you, Father. They repent of their sins and turn to you, O God. I pray, Lord, that you would do a real work in Art's dad's heart, Lord God, that he would turn to you with his heart and want that freedom, God, from you, Lord, from sin, Lord. We just bind that bondage to alcohol in Jesus' name. Father, loose him from it in Jesus' name. We thank you for what you will do now, Lord God, and be glorified, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that he is free. And from this point on, he's going to be free, and he's going to be telling about the testimonies of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gano.
I'd just like to give a testimony of just the Lord's work in me over the weekend. He certainly is a gracious and a patient and a loving God, and he really showed that to me in just really so many ways. It was just really a battle, a spiritual warfare battle, I guess is what I would say that it was. I've been kind of experiencing a lot of fatigue lately. It just seemed like somebody would pull the plug and my energy was like gone, and I had a lot of symptoms of heart attack or whatever was usually my heart that was just, you know, they would come and go. Marlon would pray for me and they would go. I would pray for myself. Sometimes they would go for a little while, but then they were back. And I started questioning myself, you know, what am I doing? Then the spirit of fear started wanting to come back, and condemnation because I felt that I was falling short of being in faith, which I was, because I was falling into doubt and unbelief. Some time ago, I don't remember how far back it was, but I had gotten a verse one day that said, you shall live and not die one morning. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, what's coming down the road? I don't know. I suppose it was in the recesses of my mind wondering what it was. But anyway, Friday, it just seemed like was a really difficult day for me. And Marlon would pray and the symptoms would go. And Friday night, I don't know, it was a really difficult night. Just couldn't sleep. There was pain here, pain there, and pain everywhere, it seemed like. I knew that a friend of his had invited him to go to an event, and I knew he was planning on going, and he would be gone all day, leaving early in the morning and not getting home till evening. And the spirit of fear really wanted to come in, and I didn't want to ruin his day, and I wanted to believe the Lord, but Satan was really... he wasn't going to give up either. And so then I got this bad pain in my jaw and it went down my neck. And I was, I didn't tell Marlon before he left. I just thought, you know, I'm going to get through this. So I went ahead and did what I normally do, is walk and pray in the morning and just, you know, just spend time with the Lord, and it wasn't going. And I came back, I just was waiting for the Lord to speak to me. And what he spoke to me, I'll just read it. It was really short, but it was what I needed. He said, only believe to the depth of your heart that you were healed and delivered at the cross, for you are not under the curse. See your health issues as impossible. Do not accept them. Rebuke the signs and symptoms and stand on my word alone. It is truth. Receive strength and endurance by faith. Speak strength and endurance until it manifests in you. You are what you speak. Let your confidence be in me, in my provision for you. I alone sustain you in spirit, soul, and body. And the word that really stuck out to me was the word sustain. And so I looked up a couple verses with sustain, and both of them were from Psalms. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. And in Psalm 50, verse 2, and also verse 4, there were several verses in chapter 50 that were just right on for me to read. And you know, the Lord was, through all this, he was really encouraging me. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there's no water, and die for thirst. and verse 4, which is where my finger was on, the Lord hath given me the tongue of them that are taught, that I may know how to sustain with words him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as they are taught. I guess my finger wasn't on there, but that was the verse that stuck out to me because it had the word sustain in it. And there's many verses where it's, you know, he's going to help me. And so I was feeling better and like I can trust in him. He's here. He's with me. Even though in my mind I was saying, okay, I'm going to be here all by myself today. Marlon's not going to be here to pray for me. And anyway, so then I decided, well, I'm going to ask the Lord for a verse by random. And so I opened the Bible and, okay, so I open it up and I'm in Acts chapter 9 and my fingers were on the words, she sickened and died. And it just, oh my goodness, it just like, she sickened and died. And it's like, it really got to me and I hadn't gotten my self together quite yet. And then Marlon happened to call home to see how I was. And I didn't want to say anything. So I didn't. Just, you know, everything's fine. But anyway, I continued reading that scripture in Acts chapter 9. And, it was about Tabitha. You know, she was the woman that did, she did good works. And, but anyway, I think some of her friends called Peter and they asked him to pray for this Tabitha. She was also known as Dorcas, I believe. And it says, he knelt down and prayed and commanded her body to arise. And she opened her eyes and seeing Peter sat up. He gave her his hand and raised her up and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Anyway, and I'm reading that and it's like, but I'm here by myself. There's nobody here to pray for me. And then it just, it's like, no, I don't receive this. She sickened and died because he just got done telling me that he would sustain me. And so I put that aside and it was amazing the strength that he gave me that day. All of my symptoms went away and I will have to say I have not had them since. And I just thank him for his grace and for his mercy and he gives us the grace to repent. And I know that, you know, doubt and unbelief is definitely a sin and was really what I had to repent of. And I was just thankful that he sent his ministering spirits to be with me that day. He gave me strength and I saw his word that day and it just, his presence was so with me. And he has since given me such awesome verses. I don't want to take up a lot of time, so I guess I won't read them all. But
go ahead.
The next day I asked for another word, and I got John 5, and my finger was on verse 20, but I would like to start with 18. We know that everyone begotten of God sinneth not, but who was begotten of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the evil one. And this is where my finger was on, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know that the true one, and we are in the true one, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And then it says, little children, guard yourselves from idols. And this morning, the verse I got was Romans 4, verse 20. Looking unto the promise of God, he doubted not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Wherefore, it also was reckoned to him for righteousness. And verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was reckoned to him, but for ours also, to whom it shall be reckoned, who believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. And it just, you know, you could go on and on with that scripture, but I know the condemnation was coming from today. The Lord, I kept asking the Lord, you know, why when Marlon would pray for me, the symptoms would go, but I would pray for myself and sometimes they would go and sometimes they would not. And today he told me it's because you have not forgiven yourself. And so, you know, and I thought I had taken care of that before, but obviously I had let it back in. And so I just thank him just for his grace and his mercy, his patience, his love, you know, that he doesn't give up on us. And it's something we don't want to fall back into doubt and unbelief, because that is very unpleasing to him. And but he doesn't want us to keep looking back. He wants us to look forward and know that he already took care of it. And he made me worthy to receive everything that he has for me. And that's what I need to keep my sight on, him, and not on my shortcomings. And I just thank him and praise him. And I thank him for my husband. He's been so awesome to pray so with me so often. And I just thank him for the 50 years that he's given us. And I guess that's all I wanted to share. But I just want, if there's anyone who is, you know, having a hard time in believing for something, to stand in faith, to just persevere and stay in his word, because he's there. He is the word, and he's going to help us through it. And I just thank him, and I give him praise and glory. And thank you, and bless you all. And I also wanted to say that the Bible studies that we're on were just really a blessing to me. They really spoke to my heart, and it just took me longer to get through this than I wanted it to. But, you know, I know the Lord is faithful. He knew I was seeking him, and he was so faithful. And I just thank him and praise him. And that's all. Thank you. Blessings to everyone.
Amen. What a wonderful testimony. Thank you, Gano. Thank you very much. Yeah, I know there's people here that are struggling with some things, and it helps to understand that all we have to do is persevere in him.
Right. And I just have been so amazed at the scriptures that he has given me by random. They were just so right on. So what I needed to hear, I guess, I think it's probably been more than 15 years ago, I had asked him for a verse. I'd always heard people, they would, you know, ask the Lord for a verse and he would give them one. And so one morning, this was still when we were going to a little non-denominational church, and I'd asked the Lord for a verse, and he gave me Psalm 28:7, and it just is so perfect. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart hath trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. I thought it was really awesome, because I love music and I love to sing. So he even included that in there. And so, okay, thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that he always talks to us through his word.
Yes. Yes, he does.
All right. Anybody else? Go ahead, Gano.
No, I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request or testimony or praise report? Go ahead, Matt.
I just want to give a praise report. My dad, he made it through the surgery better than expected. And he's home now, and he's not on a lot of pain medication, which is really good because he had a double bypass surgery. And he told me he's not in a lot of pain, and he's pretty much all there. So thank you, Lord, for working in my dad and that surgery, Lord. And I praise you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's awesome. Power of prayer. All right. Anyone else? All right. Let's see. Does anybody want to give their personal testimony tonight? We're going to try to do one ever conference call. So get your testimonies all handy, and hopefully everybody will get to share theirs one at a time. Or two, you know, it'd make me any difference. But anyways, anybody got a testimony they'd like to share tonight, their own personal testimony? Yeah, Dave. You raise your hand there. I saw you raise your hand.
Now,
step
Rod
up.
He waved at me, so I waved back.
Oh, okay. Well, no, y'all. Go ahead and give your testimony if you'd like.
I see how Robert is.
Yeah.
It's like being in a classroom again. You get in trouble for little things like that. Well, you guys want me to give a testimony?
Yeah, I'll give you personal testimony.
All right. I don't know how far back we're going to go here. Grew up in a family with three brothers, or two brothers, actually, including me, it'd be three. My mom and dad got divorced when I was seven, and I think that started some trials in my life. Because I've seen rough times with my mother growing up, you know, making ends meet, getting remarried a couple of different times in there, and in the process of moving and getting in the wrong crowd and running hard and, you know, the boy stuff. Even though I went to a Christian school for a few years, a Lutheran school, that's where I kind of dived in the Lord a little bit then. At least, you know, you get your understanding, your basic understanding of the Lord there with the denominational setting. It kind of got me on fire for a while, and, you know, I had a really good understanding of what he liked and didn't like. But as we moved away from that, I moved away from that also, because we moved back, got back into public schools, and, you know, here the world's your oyster, you're running after it, and had all my friends, and eventually got in the military and did some more crazy things, you know, but still in the back of my head was the Lord. And I got out of the military, continue on looking for work, and by that time, I pretty much was a really heavy drinker, because I got into the partying scene, not necessarily from the Air Force, but even prior to that with my friends. Back when I grew up in the time where when you were 18, you could drink. So, geez, they didn't even bother checking your ID. You walked in, you looked like you're 18, they would serve you. So we were, you know, started early drinking in that time. And I think it's pretty common. I think a lot of people did, not necessarily everybody did, but I talk to my father-in-law, geez, he was, you know, 13, 14 years old. They'd be drinking beer out on the farm. Not that I'm thinking everybody's like that, but I just know drinking is not always in this country. It's been kind of one of those things people have fell back on. And so I think with all that going on, with my dad being divorced with my mom and having those struggles there, finally, by the time I was about 27, 28, my brother said, my older brother, he said, you know, I read about people like you. I have friends like you. They're either, they straighten themselves out, things work out okay. I read about them dying in the morgue. I said, oh. So I thought, well, maybe it's time I start settling down. So I found a woman, Becky, my wife. And at the time, she was a Lutheran. And I thought, well, you know, I kind of had my roots back then. I kind of understand Lutheranism, even though I've been away from it for a while. Maybe that's what I need. I need to get back and get something studied in my life. So we got married and started going to the church, and you know, after about a year of that and getting back into it, the feel for everything, I started to realize, you know, it's just like you put that jacket on again, it just doesn't really feel comfortable. But that was when we were living in Muskegon, and I was working in Grand Rapids, which is probably about 40 minutes away. I eventually moved from Muskegon, where I grew up, into Grand Rapids because it's closer to where I work, about 3 years later. And joined another church, which my sister-in-law, her sister belonged to, and still doing a church thing with them. And I got involved with them pretty good and eventually become one of what they call an elder for them. But it wasn't. It's basically just you're a glorified usher. You help people down the aisle if they need it, and you take care of and help people with communion and stuff like that. But I was still having questions, I think, a little bit. You know, you just kind of doing the religious scene, but still kind of a hellion inside, because I really, even though I had a born-again spirit, they didn't have that born-again soul. It wasn't, didn't have that baptism of the Holy Spirit, because they don't have that. They just have, they believe, you know, you get all that from infancy when you're baptized as a baby, and you know, and you just accept the Lord at 14 when you have communion. I mean, this confirmation thing, you know, you go through for a couple of years to learn how to be a Lutheran and just like the Catholics. And I did all that stuff, and I went back again as an adult and kind of went through it again. And it, you just do the church thing. You're just kind of hanging on. You know, you got your friends. But I had a friend of mine challenge me at work once about communion, how it was performed. And I started reading up on it and started having my doubts about what I was taught, and started having more doubts and started looking for more answers. And I think eventually I decided to check out another church, a couple more. And I tried street witnessing with another group, another church group. And that was kind of interesting, but it was kind of, kind of an awakening of what's out there on the street, because I felt like I was missing something that wasn't in the church. So I wanted to maybe evangelism was it, you know. That's something they just don't do in the Lutheran church, is go out and evangelize on the street, and I did it. So I was starting to be my rebellious self there. But I realized that what I was looking for still wasn't there, and I think that church I worked with was a Reformed church. So I found another church. It was called Calvary Chapel. And that was a brand new startup church. And this church particularly, where they taught word from word, line from line, verse by verse kind of thing. I thought, that's what I really wanted. I wanted to get into the scriptures. I wanted to read more. I wanted to understand who the Lord was and what the word had to say. And I thought, this is the church I need to be in. This is where they're going to do that. So I started going to that more and more, and less of the Lutheran church. And you know that when you start distancing yourself from a denomination like the Lutherans or the Catholics, but you're still somewhat partially associated with them, because my wife is, they kind of look at you eyes, you know, they think, what's wrong with you? Or, you know, can't you get it? You know, why aren't you part of us? Kind of thing. But for a few years I was going to Calvary, and I it was okay. But unfortunately it still has that denominational thing about it, even though it's a non-denom. You know, you got the pastor and he's the head, and everybody else is just there, and you participate, and you, whatever he feels like maybe you could contribute to the church. That's kind of how you work your way in a little bit and find your place. And by that time, I was working with the all the audio and working with the mics and all that stuff, and making sure the PowerPoints were up and going and doing all that stuff. And it kind of got me another position that gave me kind of an elderish kind of position again. So I was one of those things, even though they didn't call them that, you just become that hub of people that's part of the church. But I started seeing problems there in this church too. And you know, with the Nicolaitan in there, there's always going to be the pastor's right and everybody else has to follow. And one time, a guy that was part of the music group had decided he was going to go to a home church, and he did that. And boy, that got our pastor really just all riled up. I don't know why, but he was somewhat, he was that challenged him for some reason. And he he was spoke heavily against that, and there was a big meeting about it, and I don't know, I just started seeing the issues there, and I could see where there was a struggle, and I thought, you know, this is the kind of thing I wanted to avoid. I didn't really want to get in these kind of power struggles, you know. It's and I could see where people were coming and people were going, and I was thinking, why are these people leaving? Because I love so many people I really love. And eventually I became kind of a target myself because I was kind of, you know, wondering, hey, Ed, you know, what's going on here? And so I decided just to kind of dissipate and quit going to that church as much. And I'd pop in here and there, but I just really wasn't feeling like church was me. It just wasn't working out wherever I went. And I was talking to the Lord saying, you know, I really can't find something I'm comfortable with here. And so I would say probably about another 4, 5, 6 years, I really wasn't doing anything with church other than maybe knowing what people were doing and trying to do my own thing, but still not doing very well and still struggling with my flesh, you know. And that's when eventually I came across Calvary somehow. And I think a woman I was in a chat group with, she mentioned UVM. And I thought, what is that? So I found the website and started looking it over and started listening to some of the stuff. And I thought, this is pretty good. And I kind of thought, well, I wonder if they have a fellowship, you know, some kind of something they're doing. And then I emailed them and they said, well, yeah, we have a conference call. And I said, oh, great. I'll try that out. Of course, I was still rough on the edges then, and because by the time I was starting to learn more about the power of the Holy Spirit and baptism of the Holy Spirit, because these things are all new to me, you know. I'd heard about it in Calvary. He tried to actually give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit then, but I'm not sure if he actually had. He said he spoke in tongues to that pastor, but I never really hear him speak in tongues. So I kind of question whether or not he really had the baptism of the Holy Spirit at this point. Because usually when you have it, you know you got it, and you know you can work with others to get it. And he just couldn't do that. So anyways, I got more and more in the UBM, and I think more of the sin was starting to fall off me, but I still have my struggles. And then that's when another guy was actually doing a conference at the time. Unfortunately, he fell away. But I also got a hold of Michael here, and we talked a little bit. And eventually, between Michael and this other guy, I was able to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, confessing some sins, you know, and doing my the best I could but at the time. But once I got that baptism, then things started to turn around in my life. I could actually get control of myself and my sin. But I wasn't totally perfect yet. I wasn't completely washed. But I could tell there was a difference. And I think, you know, getting the idea to be able to speak in tongues, I always thought that was the goal. If I could just do that. But as Michael would always say, you know, it's you're receiving the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the evidence will be that with the speaking in tongues. It's just one of the gifts. And so, you know, finally got that all stuff straightened out. But I was thinking, I want to have tongues. So, and when I got that, I was really happy. You know, you get kind of an ego from it and kind of show off a little bit with the family, you know, and they're kind of looking at you strange when you're doing it. But yeah, I was just kind of also trying to show them that there is something there that you don't have. You know, there's something that maybe there's something else you need to strive for, trying to give them that hunger too I had been searching for in my heart all these years. And I know it was just the Lord trying to move me along. You know, you don't really know how to follow. You just kind of go with what you know you're not comfortable with. And so, anyways, it's been quite a ride here. I've gotten rid of a lot of rough edges. I can't say that I'm totally there yet because I'm still kind of hesitant about walking on water. I'm waiting on that one, but, this has really been a blessing for me coming to UVM. I can say I've learned an awful lot, and I have things I do fall back on. I fall back on all the grace teachings. I fall back on understanding what it is to be weak to the weak. And then, you know, whenever else comes up, just go back into that and get some more information. Like, I didn't listen to the Nicolaitan stuff today, which would have been good. I didn't do that. I was still getting, going back on what David taught. Or they put up on Sunday, and I thought that was really good too. But that's kind of my story. I didn't really put in all the sinful stuff I've done in my past. I mean, there probably isn't something you guys can tell me that I probably haven't done. You know, I can go there. But I'm not that person anymore, which is really, really nice. I can say no. And it doesn't, back then I couldn't say no. Now I can, if the Satan or somebody wants to, or something comes in my head, I can say, oh, wait a minute. No, it doesn't belong there. I can just kick it out. I know it's not me. I'm not tempted to do the things I used to do, you know. So it's a big deal to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's a big deal to be walking with people that understand what that means. It's a big deal to be in the body of Christ and to all at the same time to cherish that and cherish each of you guys and realize that it's not just me, it's but you. We all need each other very much, you know, in order to make this body work and survive. So I appreciate everybody here. I want you all to know that very much. By irritation, I'm sorry if I do that. It's still part of my process, probably growing, but I do love you very much.
Amen. Well, thank you, David. That was an awesome testimony. Thank you so much. Go ahead. Who's that, Denny or Debbie? Got your hand up there. Yeah, you did. Now you got to talk.
Scratching my head.
Oh, yeah right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, that's fine.
I'll start waving at people and we'll get some volunteers.
No, well, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Yeah, it was good testimony. All right, anybody else? Yeah, we were going to talk about the Nicolaitan era at first, but then somebody brought up this Mideast Bible thing, and it was Ken, I believe, it brought that up. And I went on the website. Man, it's an awesome website. Let me get it here. It's a testimony page of Muslims turning to Christ and how that the Christ came to them in some very unusual ways. They saw the Lord save other Christians while they were trying to persecute them, and they got saved because of it and things like that, you know. It's really an awesome. Ken, you want to give us a little rundown of what you found out about this site, or you want me to?
I can give you what I know about it. I found out about it on the line when I was chatting with some people on WMD, which I go on there quite often, and I just talked to other Christians and some not so Christian people. But and I think they had an article on that website, and I was interested, and I just went into the site itself and found out about it, and I thought that was really great what they were doing. And, you know, they're very secretive about themselves because they kind of have to be because they're an underground church and they're persecuted quite heavily. You know, so you can't really find out their real names or nothing like that. And you can't even – I was gonna donate some money to them because I thought they were doing a good thing. But I found out I couldn't hardly even do that, you know, because they're very secretive, you know, because they're underground and they're persecuted. So that's what I know about that.
Yeah, they are very, it's the church that they go by is Assemblies of Loving God, ALG. And this is Pastor Paul, who's the director of Bibles for Mideast. Y'all hear that thunder? You couldn't hear it? Good. But so I'm going to read this one testimony. I'm going to read one of them. Somebody wants to read another one, that's fine. It says, my risen Lord Jesus Christ has saved my life once again, and I praise and thank God for his unspeakable grace. Certainly, I'm not worthy of it. The Assembly of Loving God Church of Bibles for Mideast called for 21 days fasting and prayer from March 13th to April 2nd. As that drew to a close, more than 3,000 former Muslims were baptized in many of our churches in Asia, Africa, and the Middle East. The Lord enabled me to baptize many people during this time. About 3 weeks ago, I was changing my wet clothes after an early morning baptism service for one of our churches. Suddenly, militants began stoning me in our group. My head was severely injured and bloodied, and a number of others sustained injuries as well. Believers rushed me to the nearest hospital, and examination showed serious damage to my skull. So I was transferred to a specialist hospital for immediate surgery. Authorities there, however, refused to do surgery before receiving payment. My poor believing friends somehow managed to comply. The Islamic militants who had attacked us discovered I was undergoing treatment in that hospital and plotted to kill me. So the believer shifted me from the hospital to Pastor Ayub's house in a nearby forested area. Pastor Ayub lives there with his wife, two young children, and an 80-year-old mother. Two believers joined us to help care for me. So the eight of us stayed there with no internet, no electricity, no pipe water, or even proper bathroom. For primary things, we used the forest areas and a nearby river. My colleague, Susanna, managed the website and prayer requests during this time, and I thank and praise God for her service during this difficult period. Believers secretly visited me at the forest home, and we would have prayer services together. I stayed there about 3 weeks. Last Sunday, April 16th, Easter Sunday, we were in the midst of our worship service with Pastor Ayub leading. Suddenly, a group of militants reached the house armed with steel bars and other weapons. We had no idea what to do. I still hadn't and have not fully recovered from the surgery. Pastor Ayub's mother is an elderly sick woman. We also had two children below 4 years old with us and a woman 7 months pregnant who came for the service. Militants had found the house by noticing the people attempting to visit me secretly and coming for prayers. Losing all hope, we thought for sure this was our last day. The children with us started crying. We all joined hand in hands and repeatedly praised and thanked our risen Lord Jesus Christ. We also continually claimed the blood of Jesus Christ as our victory. The pregnant woman suffered pain, but joined in our praises to the Lord. O Lord Jesus, praise his holy name. Completely, unexpectedly, a lion ran from the forest, leapt towards the militants, and seized one by the neck. When other combatants tried to attack the lion, two other lions bounded towards them. The terrified militants fled the site, and the lions left us completely alone. Equally astonishing, records show no lions are supposed to live in that forest. Praise God. That's a miracle of God, isn't it? Due to pressure from the officials, we left the forest home yesterday. This is just recently. This was just the day before yesterday. Yeah, the 16th Sunday. And it's got, there's some funny ones in here too. I'm looking for this other one here right quick.
Where did that last one happen, Michael?
Day before yesterday.
Where?
No, with good question. It sounds like it's in Africa somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't really give the exact locations for, you know, reasons. Those Muslims, they'll get on site and find out about these people and go after them. Here's one right here I'm going to read. God restores and redeems, an astounding update of attack on the African church. Ibn Yaqubi was among the Muslim extremists who attacked those praying at an Assembly of Loving God Church of Bibles for Mideast in a central African country on Wednesday. That was last week. Oh, I'm sorry, March 19th. This is March the 19th. The enraged assailants, armed with rods and swords, charged at those gathered and managed to demolish the church as believers gathered on the third day of a 21-day period of prayer and fasting. There's a lot of praying and fasting going on over there in those Muslim countries with the Christians. At one point, Yacoubi attempted to kill Pastor Mustafa with his sword. As the original story relates, a massive warrior angel appeared, pulling the pastor to safety. When the church roof had been destroyed and a massive thunderstorm began to roar, a mysterious heavenly storm cloud kept the Christians dry and safe, yet pelted painful rain and hailstones on the attackers. Yacoubi was one of the more extreme and fanatic religious leaders of the local mosque, participating in all of its practices and activities. Yet neither he nor other locals, all Muslims, could deny the supernatural intervention of that day. While Yacoubi remained full of questions, many in the neighborhood were softening in their attitudes towards Pastor Mustafa and the assembly, all former Muslims. Some, mostly women, from neighboring houses had begun joining them for their prayer services over the next 2 days. But the imam of the mosque and other religious leaders became only angrier with the new developments. During Friday's day of assembly at the mosque, the imam even devoted his sermon to strictly warning his people not to believe the Christians nor attend their prayer meetings. He explained how during the time of the prophet Moses in Egypt, many black magicians had also performed miracles before the king Pharaoh. But Moses destroyed all of those miracles with a far greater miracle given by the power of God Almighty. So don't believe and follow the black magic done by Christian followers, he cautioned them. Be on the alert. Ibn Yacoubi stood up immediately among the worshipers to ask a question. But Sharia law strictly prohibits talking or asking questions during the khutbah, or the sermon. In fact, before each Friday sermon, an elder of the mosque reads stern warnings on the subject from the hadith, the words of Muhammad. Yacoubi could not, however, hold himself back. He said, "Why then, Ayman, can't you do miracles as Prophet Moses did and destroy their black magic? If you can't, don't talk about it." Now, that's a Muslim talking to a Muslim, but he'd been found out something, hadn't he? The imam, now incensed, ordered him out of the mosque at once. Several other leaders, especially those jealous of or out of sorts with Yacoubi, rushed at him and pushed him out. They dragged him to the road, pummeling him mercilessly until he fell into an open drainage ditch. They then left him there under the hot midday sun. In a drainage ditch is over there is where everything runs down that ditch. Sewer, water, excess water, all that stuff goes down those ditches. Seriously injured and with several broken bones, Yacoubi couldn't even lift himself up. Those leaving the mosque Friday service only laughed at him, lying there wounded and bloodied as they walked back to their homes. When everyone had passed, he noticed a cloud descending and then overshadowing him. He recognized it as the same cloud he'd seen 2 days earlier over the church protecting the Christians. He then saw a bright and mighty man in the cloud, sitting on a throne. Oh, glory to God. That man showed his hands to Yacoubi, and they were nail-scarred. He could also see blood-stained marks on his legs and on the side of his chest. Blood-colored rays streamed down from the marks and shone upon Yacoubi. He understood it could be none other than Christ Jesus. I was brutally beaten, wounded, crucified, and died on the cross of Calvary, Jesus said. After death, They pierced my side with the spear, but I rose from the dead. You are healed by my wounds. You are purified by my blood. You have salvation by my death, and you have eternal life by my resurrection. Now I give you a new heart and new life. Be faithful. Whoa, Lord of God, Yakubi, now utterly healed, knelt down before Jesus and said, I believe in you, Lord Jesus. You alone are my Lord and my Savior. Within seconds, the cloud vanished. Yakubi went home rejoicing and convinced his family about the truth of Jesus Christ. He met with his friends and shared his experience of salvation with them as well. Some of those who had been involved in the attack on the church decided to put their faith in Jesus as well. Early Saturday morning, the former attackers gathered together and collected new roofing materials and began rebuilding the church roof. They asked forgiveness of the pastor and believers and promised to rebuild the rest of the church soon. They then joined in the day's prayer service. About 200 people attended Saturday's gathering. Pastor Mustafa explained the gospel to them more fully. He then asked those who had not yet accepted the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior to do so with their own hearts and mouths. All knelt down and declared the Lord Jesus Christ to be their own personal Savior and Lord. The Iman has exploded in anger with the new developments. Locals, however, fear saying anything against Jesus or Christians, and one their youngsters not to either. The furious Iman promises to call in militants from other mosques to fight against this Christian scourge. Pastor Paul, director of Bibles for Mid East and the patron of the ALG, issued a message to the African believers on Jesus Christ being the Prince of Peace. Our Lord Jesus does not want us to fight against our enemies in a physical way, Pastor Paul exhorted him. His will is that we war against Satan and his people with our fasting and prayers. Our Lord said this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. Also, God says in the book of Ezekiel that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. So pray for the people who are trying to persecute you. The Lord can change them by your prayers. Be courageous. The whole church and the children of God around the globe are praying for you. Then Pastor Paul prayed for them. Everyone joined in, exclaiming, Amen and Hallelujah. Amazingly, their Amen, Hallelujah reverberated loudly out into the surroundings as one beautiful voice. I have never heard such a beautiful voice before, one man, Al Kayyum, remarked. He resides not too far from the church and is known locally as the best male singer. More than 350 people attended Sunday's worship service with the Holy Spirit moving powerfully throughout. Attendance had previously been less than 40. Now they got 350 ex-Muslim believers in that church. Praise God. That's what's happening in the Muslim world. God's doing work over there, isn't he? All right, anybody else want to comment on those? Yeah, Robert, go ahead, brother.
I just want to... No, that's a real testimony, because he said, we're not to war in the flesh, but in the spirit. And I'm moved by that. And I'm also texting back and forth with a friend of mine I met recently, and she doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. God's moving her life to bring her to Christ. Her name's Heather. So, Lord, I just want to pray for Heather that she will receive your mercy and grace in such a way to set her free from the prisons of her life that she's created. We all create prisons that we live in. Father, deliver her. Save her soul. In Jesus Christ's name I ask. Thank you.
Amen. One thing, it doesn't look like that they have come to a real good knowledge of, and that's healing yet, but they will. They're going on the right track. Praise God. Anybody else want to comment on Bibles for the Mideast?
I think I mentioned it because Tracy said she worked with Muslims a few weeks ago on one of the studies. So I think that's the reason I mentioned it.
Yeah, who did? Who does?
Tracy. Was it Tracy?
Oh, might have been. I don't know.
Yeah, she mentioned that she works with the Muslims a lot, so that's why I mentioned it in the first place.
Yeah, I worked with one many years ago when I first became a Christian at a factory, and I talked to him about Jesus, and he said, I believe what you're talking about. He said, but if I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I'd be excommunicated from my family. He said, I would never be able to see my dad, my mom, my brothers and my sisters and all that again. And that was a hang up for him because he had more of a fear of man than he did a fear of God. But you know, when Christ himself comes to you and he shows you those wounds in his hands, in his side, in his feet, that's a powerful testimony to them. They're going for Jesus. Man, that's what they were doing. All through those testimonies, Jesus would show up and show his hands to them, and they knew immediately who he was because in the Quran it talks about the crucifixion of Jesus, and they know about it.
There's a girl in our family that is kind of adopted by our family, and she came from, I can't remember which country, but it's one of the Mideast countries, and her folks are all Muslim. And she came over here and became a Christian, and she's in hiding because her father's out to kill her. So she don't have nothing to do with them, and she took on her name and everything. But if her father knew who she was, they would do that mercy killing, you know, and track her down and kill her. So. That's why they do things over
yeah,
there.
Well, that's their religion. That's their it's a religion of hate and anger and murder and strife. They can't even get along with each other. Praise God, they kill one another. They don't mind doing that at all. And you know, when Muslims come to Christ, I've read that they understand the love of Christ even better so than we do, because they didn't have any love in the Muslim faith. And when they come to Christ, they share the love of Christ because they understand it a little bit better than even some of us do, you know, because all they've ever known is hate and anger and bitterness and this and that and strife. And, you know, everything is a fight. And then when they come to Christ and turn the other cheek, it's not so hard for them because they're looking for peace. They're looking for joy in their heart. They run after Jesus in a mighty way.
Well, let's pray that the Lord sends some apostles over there that have the full anointing and bring the full gospel out to them. Because I think everybody's just getting this partial gospel, even this country also.
Amen. Well, you know, the Lord is teaching a lot of people over there the true gospel and the full gospel over there. And it just takes a little bit of time. You know, you know as well as I do that I didn't learn everything overnight. I learned a little bit here and a little bit there till I got my feet wet. And like you said, Dave, went out on the streets and I saw God do miracles. So that's how we learn. We just learn by experience and reading the word and understanding what the word says and understanding that what these people are teaching them is not the truth. And so that's how we do it. You know, the great thing about the Christian walk is Jesus gave us the authority. He gave us his authority. He gave us the authority that God gave him, that the Father gave him. And he allowed that to be a part of our makeup too. So, we have all the blessings of heaven available to us. all the blessings. It don't mean just a little bit of it. I'm talking about good, strong power of God behind you.
Yes.
And all we have to do is walk in it. Go ahead, Robert.
Oh no, I'm just agreeing with you, brother.
Okay. All right. Yes, amen. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 19, it says this, "And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you." When the strong, in most of your Bibles it says strong man, but that word man's not in the original. When the strong, fully armed, guardeth his own court, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him his old armor, wherein he trusted, and divided his spoils. And he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. That's pretty powerful there. In Luke chapter 11 and 21, it says, "When the strong, fully armed, guardeth his own court, his goods are in peace." So when we know that Christ is in us, when we got the authority of Christ in us, you are in peace, because you don't have to take anything from the devil, do you? You don't have to take anything. You can rebuke him. You can bind him up. And like Henry Groover was talking about here the other day on that, I heard him on that Romans thing, where he went down in the basement of this old place and he saw two great big old dark angels down there. And the power of God came on him, and they asked him, said, "What are you doing? You're not supposed to be down here. You're not supposed to be here." And he said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And he said, "I'll bind you up." And he said he did his finger like this, and this big old chain came down and wrapped both of them up. He said those wow. angels were about 25 feet tall. That's a big angel. You listen to that, Robert?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Steve Quell was interviewing him on Gen 6, and he said he was transported him and his six prayer team warriors,
yep.
Transported to Rome. And he opened up these big gates going down. He walked down these stairs, and he come across these, just like you said, there's these two angels hunched over. And then when they just immediately saw him, they said, "You're not supposed to be here." And he said, "I have come, and God has given me the anointing to release the apostolic anointing into the world that you two have been holding." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then those chains, he said, "I bind you in them chains, drop them. Drop them, grab them angels." Powerful testimony. Henry Groover.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, what a prayer warrior.
Yeah, he is. You know, that happened in 88. Yeah, many years ago. But, man, it's still a powerful testimony today. In Luke 11:21, "When the strong, fully armed, guardeth his own court, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him," that was Jesus, "he taketh from him his whole armor, wherein he trusted." Jesus can take the armor off of any of those. You know, a devil does not have any power. He doesn't have any kind of armor at all. None at all. If you're a Christian and you know what your authority is, you can bind that devil. It don't make any difference how big that devil is, just like Groover was talking about. You can bind him up and cast him out, because Jesus Christ is backing you up. And that's the armor. He gave us the power. Colossians 1:13, "Who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." Man, he gave us some power. Glory to God. Oh, my, my, my. He said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, one of my favorites, because it tells you who you are in Christ, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions," that's demons, "and over all," don't say some, it says all, "the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." He gave us that authority. And it's something that's already been accomplished. It ain't something that we got to do. It's already there, praise God. And it's been taken, that armor has been taken away from the devil. He is wide open. He's a big target for us. That's what he is. And praise God, we can do it. We can take that man, shoot that devil right between the eyes, and he's got to go. Praise God. All right, anybody else? You know, our warfare, just like we talked about earlier, our warfare, like that pastor talked about, is not with flesh. Our warfare is on our knees. When something or somebody comes against you, don't strike back. You strike back on your knees. You pray. You go to your knees. You pray for those people. You pray against the demons that are controlling them. And you pray for God's repentance into those people. Wherever the devil has been plundering his people, you can plunder him. I guarantee you. It's because the Word of God says it. He delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He got no power. He got nothing but a big old blustery mouth. That's all he's got. And he'll keep telling you in your ear all the time, well, you're this, you're that, you're just a little bitty worm. No, I'm a child of the living God. That's who I am. And I have the power of all of heaven behind me, devil. And I guarantee you, you got to go because the Word says it. And I praise you, Father, that you're going to do it. Look, here's something else, too. If somebody's coming against you at work or somebody's, you're getting into circumstances, just pray. Just pray. If it's a spirit, pray against that spirit and bind that spirit up and cast it out of there. And you'll see results. And you'll be, after you do it, you just praise God, don't you? You thank God. You just praise Him and thank Him. Because the devil hadn't got any defense over that. And God sitting up there, look at me, my boy. Look at that. He's out there. He's doing his work, man. Glory to God. He's got his sword. He's out there whooping that devil. Man, go down to angels, help him out. Watch this. Y'all watch this. And, you know, he's going to devastate the enemy's camp because you're faithful in your word, in the Word of God. You're using the Word of God as your sword. That's how we do. You cut that devil's head off every chance he tries to come in there to you. As long as you're working, walking right with Jesus. We're in a... go ahead, Ken.
That was me. But wasn't it one of the seven sons of Sceva that didn't have no armor, and he got whooped on by the demons in the Acts? Remember that?
Which one was that?
In the book of Acts, one of the seven sons of Sceva, was it, that didn't have no armor, and he got whooped on by the demons.
Oh, they wouldn't have armor. Amen. They wouldn't feel with the Holy Spirit, were they? They didn't have God's armor. They didn't have the power of God with them.
No.
And that's what happens a lot of times in missionaries. They think that because they're a Baptist, they can go over there and they can whoop these devils. And they get sent home. A lot of them get sent home, you know. But you take some little old puny, wimpy-eyed guy that loves the Lord and knows God's authority, go over there and whoop and be over there in the jungles. You know, I read about a guy, it's been a while back, that went over there and spent years, and people didn't know anything about him. And they go to, and he's in a remote place. I don't even remember where it was. It's either in Africa or Brazil or someplace, some remote place like that. And years later, they went back there, and this guy had whole tribes turned to Jesus back in the sticks, you know. That's the power of God. That's the power. He wasn't scared of them devils. He knew who he was in Christ, and God had sent him rather than he just took off and went over there. God sent him down there. I'll have to try to find that. That's a wonderful testimony. Somebody's tuning up there.
Hey, sorry about that. Hey, Michael, you were talking about, first and foremost, the sons of Sceva. To that translation into the gentleman that turned the tribes over to to Jesus Christ over in Africa, and it just brought to my remembrance. You know, it's important that the sons of Sceva, when they went in there, he came in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached, right? And the demon that came up said, "Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you?" And, you know, that man had no faith. He didn't even know what he's talking about. He had formula. He had words, right? And so the demon was able to jump on him and rip his clothes off, right? And he was covered. He was naked. He was doing his own strength. He ran out. It's interesting that you mentioned that Africa translation right there, because I guess maybe 2 years ago, there was a prophet, quote unquote, for the Lord that wanted to demonstrate that he had dominion over all beasts of the field. So he got out of his car in the middle of a drive and ran headfirst toward a pride of lions. And it didn't work out well. And on his way back to the car, they attacked him and they ended up taking a bun of his butt and some of his leg out of him, chunks of him, before they were able to get the lions off him. You know, when the other people got out of the car to shoo him off, the lions ran, you know, but see, that's just it. If you're doing it in your own strength, what's going to happen? You know, so that's a very carnal representation of the spiritual sons of Sceva story. And that's why it's important to be led by the Holy Spirit in all things, you know, and a lot of times we want to pop off and we want to do, and that's the problem, because through our knowledge, we want to do, through our formulas, we want to do, because we're, you know, that's still an indicator that we're under the law. We're not righteous. We're not established our own righteousness. Jesus Christ is being completely humble, and that'll establish your righteousness. When you trust God, he'll justify you. But the reason that trials and torments and tribulations, all such occur, is so you can be humble, because you have not love. You know, well, I have love. Michael has love. Everybody here has love, right? Well, God knows your heart. And there's something special in you that he's trying to pull out. So you need to be broken, because he's near the brokenhearted. Therefore, you have love. Now, I'm preaching to myself as much as y'all, but that's the same thing. You know, we all go through the same trials. The Lord's not a respecter of persons, you know, and we're supposed to praise him for that. But the problem is, we don't realize it's a trial. The reason we don't realize, it's just another day at the office. We don't realize it's a trial because we don't have his word inside us to show us the signs of these trials. Jesus told the Pharisees that, you know, my word has no place in you. You know, I always found it interesting, God, that specifically whenever John 8:31-32 says, he was talking about knowing the truth. And if you're my disciple, you'll study, you know, if you are my disciple, you will know my word, and then the truth will make you free. Well, as he's talking to them, you know, the Pharisees, they respond, "We're not in bondage. We've never been in bondage to any man." You're talking about the Nicolaitan early on and how you just kind of barely touched on it. Don't you guys have an odd response? You know, that they responded to him that way, that "We're not in bondage to any man." He hadn't really accused them of such, right? But, you know, they said, "We're not in bondage to any man," because you can be in bondage to a man. Right? And look at his righteousness. And that's what Jesus is talking about. You know, when he said the same as a thief and a robber that comes through the sheepfold, we can be in the pinnacle of somebody else's righteousness. Matter of fact, the law, I believe it's in Leviticus 2, I just read today. You know, the priest, their job was to assess, to weigh the whether or not someone, their value to worship God. So it's the actual Levitical priesthood that keeps you, that mindset that keeps you under the law. And that's judgment right there that we're not supposed to do. That's why the covenant changed to Melchizedek, however you want to pronounce it. You know, and so we're to be righteous through the ways of Christ. Otherwise, we're going to end up just like the sons of Sceva in everything. I'm not talking just casting a demon out. I'm talking about a job interview. You know, whether or not you're going to get a good seat, you know, at the table that you planned for with, you know, with your family, or if you're going to have favor in the traffic conditions, because you're not led by the Holy Spirit in all things. As Jesus said, "I do nothing of myself." We do everything of ourselves, and that's what we have to come away from. So rest. Sure, it's going to look like, you know, it's going to look like you're not doing anything. Rest. Know that he's God. Trust him and listen to the first small voice, you know, that's in you. The second one's doubt. It's always going to be the devil, because, you know, the Lord is more powerful. I'm approaching that way. That way, I mean, you can't go any wrong, and you're trusting in the seems impossible. He's, you know, all things through Christ is strength. I mean, he's the God of the impossible. I do all things through Christ. All things. How much is all? So, you know, just listen to the voice that's inside you when you ask initially, "What do I do, Lord?" You know, and hey, if you feel uncomfortable, ask somebody else for, you know, Holy Spirit like counsel for advice. Out of the mouth of truth, who witnesses, let my word be established. But the problem is, a lot of us don't ever do that. We hear a prophet say something, a prophetic word or whatnot, and we just go with it. Well, how in the world is that letting his word be established? Don't you think God would talk to you first? I just found that weird. Why don't they allow the Lord to talk to them first and then let the confirmation come through other people as opposed to following after someone else because they say they have a prophetic gift? Always, you know, it's just little things like that we have to pay attention to. So I guess that's my two cents on that conversation. But the moral of the story is don't run headfirst into lions.
Amen. He always wants us to be led by the Spirit. Amen. You touched on love a while ago, and Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. And then in one of the Corinthians, either first or second, I can't remember, I think it's chapter 12 or 13, it talks about the fulfillment of the law is love. And when you love somebody, you're not going to talk against them. When you love somebody, even loving your enemies, you know, that's what he's commanded us to do. That's the fulfillment of the law. We love everything. And so we pray for all of these ways. And we be led by the Spirit of God, like Jeremy was talking about. That's, he said, the sons of God are those that are led by the Spirit. I want to be led by the Spirit in every step that I take. I don't do it as often as I like to, but I do, you know, major things now. But I want to be doing it. I truly want to be so close to Jesus that I can hear him at any time that I need to. I'm not doing it right now, but I'm having the faith to believe that I am, that I can. Anybody else like to do that? Would like to listen to Jesus all the time? Listen to the Lord talk to you, the Holy Spirit talk to you every step of the way. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, amen, me too.
Amen. I want the Lord to show me, you know, Michael, don't take that step there now. I'm telling you, you take that step, it's going to hurt. So I want that, and before I take that step, it's going to hurt me. I want the Lord to tell me not to do that. Of course, if you read the word, you study the word, you get the word inside of you, you're going to understand not to take that step that I'm talking about. Sometimes we do it unwillfully, and we get spanked for it, but that's okay. You know, we learn. It's a process that God's got every one of us in, and how we respond to that process, how we respond to correction is major. Some people cannot take correction well. And when they don't take correction well, they find that they're outside the body pretty quick, because God's not going to put up with sin in his body in these days that we're in now.
Ever since I was a little kid, I've always prayed, Lord, let me learn the easy way, because I've seen a lot of people learn the hard way. The lumps on the head, where they stick up. I don't want no lumps.
Yeah, I don't care anything about going through that those spankings that God gives us when we mess up. And you have to be open to correction. I can't stress that enough. That spirit of rejection a lot of people have, a spirit of rejection, tries to justify themselves so that they don't have to take that correction. You know, well, here's what happened, you know, this, that, and the other. It don't make any difference, man. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Repent and get back on course with God. It's not worth losing your soul because of pride in your heart or rejection in your heart. I say that because I've seen too many of my friends leave and get outside the body because of rejection and pride in their heart, and wouldn't take correction. Not from us, not from me, not from David, but from God. Correction comes from God. It don't come from, you know, the elders. All they're doing is giving a message. And that's what you have to look at. It's from God. And when you understand that the man presenting it is just speaking for God, then you won't get all bent out of shape. How many of you think you can whip God, you know? I don't think so. And the reason I'm saying this is because the time that we're in right now, we're in the Ananias and Sapphira time right now. People are being pulled out by the Lord of God's bride because of stubbornness, because of pride, because of not wanting to take correction from God. And what happens when you don't take correction is anybody that's in your family is taken out too. I've seen whole families taken out because of daddy or mama didn't want to abide by what God had wanted them to do. It's amazing to me. And when you open that door, I'll tell you this much, and listen to me very carefully, because when you open that door and you don't want to take correction, that spirit will come on you and sear your conscience, and you won't know what hit you. it's terrible, terrible, terrible demon. It'll sear your conscience, and next thing you know, you're out of the body of Christ. So we just do what God wants you to do. Be open to any and everything that God comes around. You know, if there's a dream comes up and it shows it, I have done this or I have done that. Man, somebody going to hear my confession. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody going to hear my confession, because I know what the fear of God is. And you got to have the fear of God more than the fear of man on you. If you have the fear of God on you, you don't have to worry about the fear of man. You really don't. It's the fear of man that takes people out. Fear of what somebody else is going to think. You know, if I have to confess this particular little old sin that I've got, that I've harbored, and then God exposes it and lays it out on the table for you. He's going to do it too. He's doing it now. He's doing it now. People's lives are being laid out wide open on the table. And they'll either accept repentance or they'll reject repentance.
Hey, you know, Michael, you were talking about that. And when you have your conscience seared, in Hebrews 3, and Paul talks as the Holy Spirit writes through him, he makes note of such, that says, you know, in my wrath, because they have not known my ways, they shall not find rest, as their fathers wandered the desert for 40 years, right? So do these men do, right? And, you know, then he tells us not to harden our hearts, lest we receive an evil heart of unbelief. What that evil heart of unbelief says to you, the thought process, what you actually hear is, I'm not wrong. You don't believe you've done anything wrong. That's the problem. Not that you don't believe in Christ, you're completely super religious, but you don't believe that you're ever wrong. You're self-righteous, your conscience is seared, and so you're not going to receive any of that type of correction. And Jude talks about that specifically, because, you know, you need a washing renewal of the mind, you know, but there are certain people that are there just to chase you for that. You know, the very end of Jude, not the very end of Jude, I guess the middle of Jude, it says, but beloved, remember you, the words in which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These are they that separate themselves, they're sensual, right? They work within the flesh, they're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, right? And having not the Spirit, right? So they don't know the Holy Spirit's ways. You know, it says having not the Spirit. What Spirit? What are they talking about? Well, they have another Jesus, another Spirit, another gospel. You know, Paul talks about that, you know, and so it's very important to have that foundation. So his word does have place in you. So when the lies of the devil come against you on anything, it cannot enter in. You got that helm of salvation on. You know, you're ready. You know, God, David was a man after God's own heart, and he repented, right? We're supposed to repent daily. Pick up your cross daily, you know, and just repent and ask the Lord to make you more like him and want to know his heart, to see through his eyes, you know, and then recognize when when stuff comes to you, you know, what needs to occur. So I just want to throw that in there because, you know, it's the evil heart of unbelief. And I get it. It tells you that you're not wrong. And so we don't have belief that we're wrong. Jesus said, no man is good. Well, if we're not right, then we're wrong. And if we're not, you know, good, there's a disconnect there. So, you know, we don't serve the God of our own belly. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was completely humble. And, you know, a friend of publicans and sinners, but he didn't have friendship with the world. You know, that's amity with God. You know, it's, he spoke nice to them. He spoke, David has a book, says speak, it was a speak grace. Is that right, Michael?
Yeah, speak grace, not condemnation.
Right. And that's really where it's at, man. You know, I was, that's really where it's at. You know, if you look at where Jesus says, you get this, if you look at where Jesus says, you know, I think it was Peter that came to him and said, Lord, how many times should we forgive someone that trespasses against us? And in Luke, he says, if they've trespassed against and if they repent, forgive them 70 times, seven times. Well, why? Because they're struggling with their carnality. They're trying. They're not trying to hurt you, but they're trying to get over it, and they just can't help themselves. And their members are exceedingly sinful. They do the thing they hate, but they're sorry, right? And in that area, we do such. And then later on, right afterwards, he says, if, you know, oh, the disciples said, please increase our faith. And he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you should say unto this mountain, remove from hence and yonder pace, and it should obey you, right? Well, faith works by love. So what he's really saying is if you have love, right, to get to the faith to remove that mountain, then you will love them and you could forgive them. So we got to be careful because, you know, people, the devil will use offenses and transgress the law to attack you all the time. And if you don't forgive, and not forget, but forgive, right? Pray for them, you know, let it go, you know, let it go, you know, remember they're struggling. That's why I said, don't forget, you know, remember they're struggling. Keep that in mind so you're not taken by surprise every time.
Amen. Amen. That's where love comes in. You have to have God's love. And if you don't have love in your heart for your brethren, you need to ask God for it. He'll give it to you. Is it 1st or 2nd Corinthians 13? It's the love chapter. I believe it's 2nd Corinthians 13. Or 1st Corinthians. Okay, thank you, Robert. You ought to read that and study that and get that in your heart because that's what God wants us to be. That's the way he wants us to be, is to love. I got to love you. I don't care how obnoxious you are, you know. You got to love me. It don't make any difference how obnoxious I am. You have to love, you got to love me. And that's the way God wants it. There's people around you that give you that give you a problem, you know. Well, just love on them, you know. Go ahead, Robert.
I think Jeremy just, he summed up everything he said in three words, let it go.
Yeah.
I mean, let it go. I mean, who are we to be? I mean, there are times when we do get offended, but once we're past it, just, let it go. Because if you want to hang on to that offense, if you want to hang on to the, oh, how right or how wrong I was, and, you know, there's a root of bitterness spills up. So thank you, Brother Jeremy. And well, just let it go. I mean, and it's sometimes it's very difficult to let offense go. So we just got to just let it go. Okay? Big deal. Who are we? Life's too short. Our days are too short. And just to worry about that stuff to a point, just let it go. Thank you, Jeremy. You really spoke to me.
Amen. That was so simple. Also, remember this. If you got any anger in your heart, that's unforgiveness. If there's bitterness that rises up inside of you, that's unforgiveness. You remember what Jesus said about unforgiveness. He said he's not going to forgive you. So you got to let it go, like Jeremy said. Let it go. I like that. That's simple. That's a simple gospel, ain't it? Praise God.
You know, it's funny you say that, but it's you know, what I generally like to say is let go and let God. You guys ever heard that? Let go and let God.
Yeah.
Right? And let him justify. It's funny because, you know, Jesus also said specifically that it's not what that goes into a person, but what comes out of you that defiles you. Right? And so, you know, Paul says that I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus that nothing's unclean of itself, right? Unless you esteem it to be unclean to you, it's unclean. If you do something that you willfully accept, but you have doubt in your heart that it could be sin, you don't know your position in Christ. And if you don't know your position in Christ, and it's going to look like foolishness to those that haven't been got that revelation of grace, because that's a subjective thing. It's a personal thing, right? So, but we have to get over that tendency to try to judge one another. The issue is, if it comes out of your mouth, well, what happens, you know, if the sun goes down on your wrath, right? Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, lest it turn into a seed and become a root of bitterness, come out of you, defile you, right? It'll come out. It'll manifest. It'll control your thought process. It'll control your actions, your habits, it'll ultimately determine your destiny, because you can't get over. But if you had love, you can say to that mountain, right? Be from removed from hence to yonder place. Be cast into the sea. Go somewhere else. That's not me barking. I'm sorry. I'll be right back.
Sounds like an attack dog. Yeah, praise God. That's right. So don't let that root of bitterness. Remember that story of that African preacher that got in a fight with his wife, got in an argument with his wife, and got in a wreck and killed himself and got up to heaven? Man, he thought he was fixing to step right on in. Man, and that angel told him real quick, no, son, let me show you what your caste is. Let me show you what your abode is, if we so desire. Your abode is hell because of your unforgiveness in your heart. Oh, my goodness, that was an eye-opener for me. You can't, you know what he said when he got back up, don't you? He said when he came back to life, when they got him back, when the Lord brought him back to life, and if it would look like there was an inkling of an argument starting with his wife, he'd go run in the bathroom, shut the door. He was scared of hell then, I'm telling you. He knew what hell was about because the Lord took him down and showed him, and he didn't want no part of it. And he wanted to make sure his heart was right before God. And you know, that's the way our heart ought to be. How many of you want to go to hell? I don't see no hands. We all want to go to heaven, don't we? So that's why we ought to pay attention to what the Word says and what these testimonies are of these people that good gracious, it's not to hold bitterness and anger towards somebody is unforgiveness, and that'll take you to hell. So get rid of it. And I'm not talking to people here on the deal. I'm talking to people out there that's going to be listening to this. Don't hold that bitterness or that anger in your heart. Get rid of it. If you can't get rid of it, ask the Lord to get rid of it for you, and He will. But you don't want to be standing before the Lord with that unforgiveness in your heart, that bitterness. So He'd be taking you down to the smoking fireplace down there. All right. Anybody else want to comment or would like to say something? We got a few minutes left.
Or I'll take you can expect some lumps from the Lord, right? Remember that old Bugs Bunny commercial with how many lumps do you want in your coffee? Three or four. You'd say three or four and bum, 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 bum. Three or four lumps on the head. That's the Bugs Bunny commercial.
I remember. go ahead, Missy. I can't hear you. You didn't unmute. There you go.
Cartoon used to tickle me. I used to get a kick out of that too.
Yeah, it was a funny one. All right, anybody else got a comment they'd like to share? Listen, if you get a chance, go on that site with the what's the name of it? Middle East Bibles or something like that.
Bibles for the Middle East.
Bibles for the Middle East. Thank you, Robert. Yeah, Bibles for the Middle East. Go on that website and read those testimonies. It's awesome. Go ahead.
Barbara posted it right there in the chat room, Bibles for the Middle East. And I posted the Henry Gruber testimony up there too as well. So if you ain't going to look at that.
Okay. Praise God. Thank you so much. All right. Who wants to give her a testimony? What is this? It's Thursday night. Who would like to do that? Okay, Denny. That looks good, brother. That'd be fine. Volunteer like the Army does, don't we? Yeah. All right. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to talk about?
I got a question.
Yes.
The testimony you give, how do you know when it finishes? Like, isn't it ongoing, even though it started?
Yeah, yeah, you can have addendums to it anytime you'd like.
Well, it's still going for all of us, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like, we're going to become greater and
absolutely
in glory.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, what I was referring to is your conversion and what brought it on and what you've done since then, you know. Y'all have heard mine, so I'm going to sit back and listen to y'all for a while. Matthew, get your testimony ready, son, because you're going to have to give it. You too, Merle, you and Missy. Now, you can't miss that week either. Oh, me. And you too, Miss Judy. Awesome. All right. Is anything going on that you'd like to mention, like in the world or anything? We need to be praying for Trump. Man, there's some – that North Korea bunch over there is acting crazy. But, you know, I believe the Chinese and the Russians are getting together against them. Looks like they got troops up there on their borders. And I don't know a whole lot more than that right there. I think China's got 150,000 men up there, and Russia's got some artillery or something going on up there. Of course, you know.
Didn't Korea didn't we chase them back to the Chinese border, and then China drove America all the way back? Isn't that how that ended?
The Korean War actually was never – there was never a treaty on that. They just kind of just quit. They quit fighting. The Chinese, once they got into it, they helped the North Koreans out. And I don't know. That's for my time.
Yeah, we probably should take heed of that, you know, and not expect China to side with us, you know, but just kind of – they're kind of a wild card at that point. You know, what interest really do they have more? And believe you me, just like any country, if they see a statistical advantage and an economic advantage, that's always going to play a huge factor in their loyalties. You know, so China's, you know, jockeying for position to be, you know, that world power coming right up on America as far as their military and their economy and whatnot. I mean, we're still always ahead, but, you know, I wouldn't put it past them. You know, so I wouldn't necessarily be thinking, you know, we didn't make any friends with Russia either, you know, with the whole Syria thing. So that'll be interesting to see how all that works. But the good news is it's not Armageddon, because that doesn't take place Korea.
No. Well, actually, the world war shouldn't start until after the second seals open, or second trumpet, one of the two. Can't remember. Second trumpet, I believe, blows.
No, well, we just won't vote for a second term.
There you go.
Problem solved.
There you go. There's going to be skirmishes. So it looks like we may be into the wilderness here shortly. Really? Planet X is showing up out there now. I don't know if y'all been watching any of that. Planet X is showing up. They think it's coming back around now. And I don't know. You know, I don't. That's David talks about that. I don't get into that. But that's part of it. All this stuff seems to be happening right now, lining up, you know, so to speak, for these end time things to start happening. You know, I figured it up. I've got it in this Bible over here somewhere. How many people die just during the first two trumpets? It's billions, billions and billions and billions of people. That's a whole bunch.
Yeah, but, a third of the world's population will die, and then another third will die after that.
Mm-hmm.
We already see what Fukushima's doing to the Pacific. It's wiping out the pretty much Pacific becoming a dead zone because of Fukushima. And we're seeing that. And so, yeah, it's lining up. But, you know, God's got that. It ain't catching God by surprise. Yeah, I mean, he's got us covered. His people are covered, okay?
And, absolutely.
You know, we guys should have no fear, no matter what happens. I don't care if a nuclear bomb goes off in this country. We should have no fear.
It don't make any difference. One goes off right beside you.
Hey, man, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. Hey.
You just wipe. No, well, not only that, you might, if you still got something to do, you just wipe the dust off and keep on preaching, right? That's all you have to do. Praise God. God's, you know, when the anointing comes for the bride, ooh, my gracious, faith is going to come in at an unprecedented rate. Well, I had it somewhere. I don't know where it is. But it's a whole bunch of folks that's going to die during the first two trumpets. And from what I understand, they're going to run parallel or with each other. They're going to be during the same time. And it's going to be tough in the natural. But we're going to see mighty miracles of God for those people of God that have already been in the wilderness, have already gotten rid of that carnal self life and that and the world out of their life. It's going to be a grand time. It's going to be one of the best times for a Christian that ever was. The apostles are up there wishing they were down here with us now during this time that's ahead, because God's going to do these miraculous, supernatural things for his people. It's like Robert said, if it don't make any difference, you know, that bomb could be a foot and a half away from you on top of your head, and he could snatch you right out of its way. Don't put him in a box. You could be right on the New Madrid fault line when that thing goes off, and you'll be the only one standing when it's over. Good times coming. Just remember that our warfare is on our knees. It's we have to have love in our hearts to pray for the people that flesh killers for us. You know, that's what I call them. I call them flesh killers. Those people around you that bug you, you know, they're flesh killers. That's what I call them. God put them there for a purpose, for you to pray for them. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to pray about? How you doing, Miss Judy? All right. Praise God. You see Missy up there, don't you? I don't know what that thing is behind them. It looks like some kind of idol they got. Missy and Merle Scott back there behind them. I don't know what that thing is. What is that? Is that a statue of something?
You're seeing in a mirror, and you're seeing a...
Where's
the mirror? You're talking
about the cloth.
I don't know.
There's a mirror behind us.
Oh, it is? Okay. So the mirror is reflecting the statue you got on the other side of the room.
But that, we don't have a statue.
Oh, okay. That's what it looks like over here. I don't know what it looks. I don't know what it is. But it looks like some kind of modern art kind of a deal. Yeah.
I don't know what you're. I can see right there, Merle.
No, it's not that. It's that white thing behind you. Anyway, praise God. All right. Willie, how you doing, brother? Awesome. I saw your little girl wave at us a while ago when you was off doing something. She come in here and waved at us. Praise God. All right. Nobody's got anything to pray about. Hey, Matt, would you close us out in prayer? You mind doing that?
I don't mind, as long as you don't.
Mm.
Lord, bless our night tonight, Lord. Give us great sleep, Lord, that we'll be fully rested, Lord, and bless our day tomorrow, Lord, and bless the conference call on Thursday night, that you'll be there, and everybody will participate, Lord, and we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.